This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
There's a lot going on.
Yes.
There is a lot going on. ACC announced Charlotte's new home. We got some NBA collective bargaining agreement discussions. We have a listener poll that we need to answer, and we're going to do that right here. For those people who are hockey fans, Nathan MacKinnon just signed an 8-year, $100.8 million contract extension with the Avalanche with an $85.3 million signing bonus. Excuse you? $85.34 million signing bonus.
Wow.
My fault for getting that wrong. And trying to do the math here. What year is this? 2022?
Yes.
24 years ago today.
Oof.
Cal Ripken Jr.'s consecutive games played streak came to an end. 24 years ago today, September 20th, 1998. Pretty historic.
Doesn't feel like 24 years ago, that's for sure.
Gosh. All right. So we do this every day for the most part. Your opportunity to decide what we discuss. And here's how we do this. Victoria puts out a poll. I usually make some sort of snide remark or tell you when polls are closing. And the options for you are, and if you want to talk about this, I'm here for you. 919-860-5326. We'll go in reverse order of success. Aaron Judge. We are going to talk about Aaron Judge later. He didn't homer yesterday.
Wow.
He didn't play yesterday.
Oh, well, okay. That's why.
The Yankees were off yesterday. He is sitting at 59 home runs. One and done, which I knew wouldn't win. We talked about it last hour, but that came in third. Number two, and we're actually going to discuss this in a second. Arizona State or Nebraska, and this pertains to which job should Matt Rule really go after?
Yes.
And the answer is not because you care about Matt Rule, Victoria.
Oh, sorry.
Not because you care about him.
Did that come out?
You want him to go after any job that isn't the Carolina Panthers.
I think I saw Target was looking for somebody.
There you go. Can work in electronics.
Yeah.
So he wears a headset all the time. He's got experience.
There you go.
So Arizona State's job came open when they fired Herm Edwards, somebody they should have never hired. Nebraska's job came open the week before when they fired Scott Frost. Legacy hire for them. They thought, and he did very well at Central Florida. You know, he was going to come back and get Nebraska back to past glory, which didn't happen and won't happen. I think the chances of Nebraska being a high-level program again are almost non-existent. Arizona State has huge potential. If I were Matt Rule, that's the job I would go after. And if he shows some interest in it, not personally, but let his agent do it, he might be on the short list to get that job. He did well at Temple. He did well at Baylor. Arizona State's a little bit of a build. There's no reason he couldn't do well at Arizona State. But I want to start with, because we're going to get back to the Panthers, we're going to start with Friday Night Football and the ACC. I talked about this with David Teal about 30 minutes ago. The Florida State at Louisville game did really well on ESPN Friday night. Really well. Friday night is an opportunity. It's not just the ACC. It's any conference to plant a flag. And the ACC does have about four or so Friday night games during the course of the year. And invariably, those games feature Syracuse and Boston College and those schools. And occasionally, it'll be a Wake or a Duke or a State or a Carolina. But for the most part, they're, well, the eighth choice among the networks. So what I would do if I were the ACC is that I would create a Friday night package that would really highlight the good that is ACC football. Especially when you're having a year where I mean, this year you're good.
Yeah.
I mean, Florida State looks like they're competent. And Louisville, maybe Louisville will need a coach not named Scott Satterfield. I don't know. But you have an incredibly exciting player, Malik Cunningham. So that game was attractive to watch. 2.75 million people watched it. It was the number one show among people under the age of 50, original show, on cable or broadcast, Friday night in prime time. Number one, FSU Louisville. It's an opportunity for the ACC to highlight football and maybe add to the bottom line. And that's what the ACC is looking for. I think their biggest competition, if you do Friday nights, will come from the Big Ten, if the Big Ten decides they need to do that. But I don't think the Big Ten needs to do that.
No.
SEC's not going to do it because ESPN isn't going to want to compete with itself. If I'm the ACC, if I'm Jim Phillips, the move to Charlotte is done. Now let's go plant a flag on Friday night. If you are looking to protect high school football, I get it. I think the damage done to high school football is almost nil. But I understand why people are afraid. I've always said this. If you're going to buy a ticket to a high school football game, it's probably because you have a child playing or a child in the band.
Yes.
And even if your favorite school is playing Friday night, you're still going to go to the high school game because you can't DVR your high school game or halftime.
But you can stream it if they do have Friday games.
You could, but I still think that.
You could do both.
I still think that if you are inclined to go and pay whatever it is to go to the high school football game, that's where you're going to go.
Yeah.
The college game is not going to impede that. And if it does, it's such a small amount. I'm not saying it won't be felt, but maybe we should take up a collection.
Yeah.
We'll cover the school's losses.
There you go. It's a great idea. I like it.
I do think that this is the future. Heck, the MAC plays on Tuesdays. The Sun Belt plays on Wednesdays.
Yeah.
Friday's
open.
Let's do Friday.
Yeah.
It will be good. It will be good for the league, especially because you get to showcase games when nobody else is playing.
Yeah.
Let's do that. All right. Back to Matt Rhule. And this was brought up by friend of the program, frequent guest contributor, my friend Brendan Whitted, League Pass Lair, also works for Howard University, and said, watching football last night, let's talk about the Panthers. Meaning, watching Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts. Let's talk about the Panthers. Well, how come you didn't say Ryan Tannehill and Kirk Cousins, who were both terrible
last night?
Okay. To a lesser, Josh Allen is a separate entity. Even though I would point out that both Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold were selected in front of Josh Allen in the same draft. Hey, everybody gets it wrong. Allen was drafted 7th. So two teams that needed quarterbacks screwed it up.
Big time.
And I would have screwed it up too. I didn't have any faith in Josh Allen coming out of Wyoming. With that said, Allen looks like one of the great quarterbacks of our era.
Sharp.
Yeah. And Jalen Hurts, while not Josh Allen, looks very much like a quarterback you can win with. Second round pick of Philadelphia, who was, when he was drafted, and I ridiculed the pick too, when he was drafted, people said, well, they're drafting their Taysom Hill. I'm like, you don't draft Taysom Hill in the second round. I have no idea why they drafted Jalen Hurts, but Jalen Hurts was better than Carson Wentz, so they got rid of Carson Wentz.
Yes.
And Jalen Hurts looks like one of the top 15 or so quarterbacks in the game.
Absolutely.
He's not Josh Allen. I don't think he'll ever be Josh Allen, but there are a lot of quarterbacks that will never be Josh Allen. So if I'm the Panthers, I'm a little jealous.
Should be.
I'm a little envious that Philly has a quarterback that probably ends their search for the next quarterback.
Absolutely. Is a franchise quarterback. Go figure.
Yeah, look, I think we throw around franchise quarterbacks, the phrase, I think we throw it around too loosely. I think there's franchise quarterbacks, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, players like that. And then there are, oh yeah, he's a viable starting quarterback you can win with. That's Jalen Hurts. Now, maybe in a year that changes and he becomes the former. But right now, Jalen Hurts looks like, we don't have to go out. We don't have to overextend ourselves, searching for the next guy. When we all know that the Panthers next year, and this is my argument against the Baker Mayfield trade. Granted, they didn't give up anything.
No.
They gave up almost nothing. And the Browns are paying half his salary. Awesome. But my argument against it was it's not going to eliminate the search for the next guy. I understand. Your team, Matt Carroll out there. Matt Corral.
Yes.
Your team, Matt Corral. Apologize. I get it. Matt Corral is also almost definitely not ending the search for the next quarterback.
No.
Now, if it turns out where Matt Corral is the next guy and he does end the search, happy to admit I'm wrong. Happy to do it. I just did. I just said I got Josh Allen wrong.
Yeah.
I just said I got Jalen Hurts wrong. I got no problem. I am not a professional scout. But
we got to get over these like quick band-aids. That's my thing. We need to find a long-term thing.
Problem. Here's the problem. Is that the real problem is not even Matt Rhule. It's not Baker Mayfield. It's not Matt Rhule. The real problem is the person signing the checks. Because David Tepper, when you're the wealthiest NFL owner, although I think we might have, I think the Walmart people are wealthier than David Tepper.
Yeah, right.
I'm pretty sure.
I think so.
That whoever they came in to own the Broncos is now one, and Tepper is second on the list. So when you've made, when you're worth $16 billion or whatever David Tepper is worth, and you've made so much money and you have all the answers, you look at sports and you look at it differently than you would other entities. So they never seem to apply. This is how I got really wealthy. I took certain steps to get really wealthy. These people think sports, it's just a game. It's so easy. I'll get what I need to get and we'll win. And it ain't that easy.
It's just
such a process.
It is.
The quicker you understand that process, the quicker you back away, hire the right people, and let them do the work. And just own and just love your team. Otherwise, how long has Jerry Jones owned the Cowboys? His initial move was hiring the right person. Jimmy Johnson. I actually had a conversation about Jimmy Johnson earlier today. Jimmy Johnson was the rare college to the pros success. I would argue that Jimmy Johnson took advantage of a market inefficiency as the NFL was changing from power to speed. And he took advantage of the Minnesota Vikings, who were willing to give the Cowboys 5 first-round picks plus players, all for Herschel Walker, who wasn't that good. He was good, but he wasn't that good. So the Cowboys had this advantage of draft capital, and Johnson understood where the game was going. I digress. So once Jimmy Johnson was getting all the credit and Jerry Jones decided, I need to get the credit, what happened? The Cowboys have not won since.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. They won the Super Bowl the first year without Jimmy. Barry Switzer was the head coach when they won the Super Bowl. But really, the coaching credit should go to Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, and Michael Irvin, who actually told Barry, just stand on the sidelines and shut up. We got this.
Yeah.
Because they did, because the team was too good. Anyway, that's Jerry Jones has struggled to get to the point where he's at now, where the Cowboys have a lot of good personnel but are underachieving. In large part because Jerry Jones has hired poorly at head coach. Because, and he's been the GM. He hasn't been a terrible GM, but that's as far as it goes. He hasn't been great. He just hasn't been terrible. Part of being a GM is hiring the right head coach.
Yeah.
Which they haven't done.
No, they have not. So, Tepper, put your ego aside. The deeper
you
issue.
You own. You've got billions.
Yeah.
Own.
Let other people do things.
Look, I have no idea if Scott Fitterer is the right guy or not. I really don't. We have no idea. We'll learn in a couple of years. We know that Matt Rhule is not the guy.
Right.
We know that. And we also know that Baker Mayfield is, at best, not quite as good as Jalen Hurts.
Yes.
At best. That's where the Panthers are.
Mediocre.
I actually think the Panthers, even though there are some good players, I said this on Twitter, I'll just say it again as we go to break. If I were them, I would seriously consider, before the trade deadline, trading Christian McCaffrey. You have to get... He's a depreciating asset as it is. You're not going to be good to use Christian McCaffrey.
No.
I would demand at least one first-round pick. I would demand that. If I didn't get that, then maybe you don't move, but I would do it. I would consider trading Christian McCaffrey. 1 week from today, Hurricanes training camp starts. We are 11 days away from the first preseason game. I'm sure this brings back great memories for Shane Willis, analyst for the Carolina Hurricanes TV and radio network, and he joins us on the Adam Gold Show. Do you remember the days where you were reporting to training camp?
Of course. I mean, I have multiple concussion issues, Adam, but I still remember those days.
That's not where I was going with this, Shane.
Oh, that's where you were. But yeah, I mean, it's the excitement of the season, right? You've trained all summer long. You've pushed so hard in these last few weeks, and really all you want is training camp to start. You know, now it's, you know, you're a few days away, but these guys have been committed, and so many of them have been here now for a couple weeks skating together and, you know, really working hard with Bill Burnison, and they just are ready for the puck to drop and get things rolling.
Shane Willis is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. I'd give his Twitter, but he doesn't have one because he's probably smarter than us. I don't know what the answer to this is, but it seems to me that more players have gotten here earlier this year than in years past. Is that true?
I think it is true, and it goes back to something that we know and we talk about so often. When you talk about culture and guys building and wanting to work together and push each other and the way they train, obviously another big reason is how good Bill Burnison is and his staff in training these players. They want to get back here quick and work with the best. The other big part, I think, what players are realizing is how important the first 10 games of the season really is. You can come out and have a great start to the start of the season and really set yourself up for a couple great months to get rolling. And I think players realize that, and getting here early helps them prepare for that. It allows their families to get settled back into their homes, get their kids in school, and their main focus is training camp and playing on night number one.
Not to mention the fact that very early in the season, there are multiple trips, but very early in the season is a big West Coast trip. And if you can get out to a fast start through a West Coast trip, that puts you at an advantage over the rest of the teams in your division, in your conference, that also have to go through that, because those are difficult trips to compile a lot of points. Somebody who will be sort of going home earlier, Brent Burns, defenseman, is the new partner for Jacob Slavin. 3 years, three different partners for number 74. My intel tells me that Brent Burns, essentially, he and Jordan Staal blew everybody out of the water with the conditioning test, which tells you something about 37-year-old Brent Burns.
Well, those were the text messages I was getting right after the deal was made. They're like, what are the Canes going to do? He's 37. I'm like, have you seen the guy? Like, he is a physical specimen that trains as hard as anybody. Very similar to Jordan Staal, Jacob Slavin, and the rest of the guys inside this locker room. So he was a welcome addition to Bill Burniston and his staff of what he brought to the table. And there's a reason why at 37 he continues to play large minutes in a game and puts up the points. Obviously in San Jose, it was a difficult year last year with that team, but he's excited to be here. He's going to be a huge part of that power play. And besides being physically fit, if you haven't seen this guy shoot a puck yet, you'll be extremely impressed with how he unloads and will be a big part of that power play.
We have seen Brent Burns for a number of years. We see in the All-Star games, whether it's here, whether it's in San Jose. I mean, we know how good this guy is. He's not just a beard. He is a tremendous player. And he won't have to play 26 and a half minutes a night here. He won't have to play as much as Slavin plays. But this is, I mean, this will be the best partner that Jacob Slavin has ever had.
I completely agree. And I think what Jacob Slavin has shown, the elite defenseman he is, and really can play with anyone in this league, but to play alongside a guy, as you mentioned, in Brent Burns and what he brings to the table, Jacob Slavin's game is going to find another level as well. And these two will be dynamic no matter who they're on the ice against. And I think everyone talks about your matchups and things like that. And I always go back to, you look at the games that Jacob Slavin has played against Connor McDavid, the best guy in the league with what he can do offensively, and Jacob Slavin has shut him down. And now to add a guy with the size and physical presence of Brent Burns beside him, these two, when you're a visiting team member and you look across, you're like, who the hell, there comes those two again? Like, this is going to be a long night for every offensive threat around the league.
Shane Willis is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. We are 1 week from tomorrow from the Hurricanes starting training camp over at PNC Arena, and sometimes it'll be over at Invisalign, where the weight competition center is. So people had asked me, this is before the draft, before free agency, what do the Hurricanes have to do to get better, to score more goals? And I responded the same way all the time. All of the improvement, the real improvement, will come from within. So, A, do you think that's correct? And where do you think that improvement needs to come from?
I do think that's correct, but I do also really like the additions that Don Waddell brought in up front to create competition. I think you look at guys like Kasha, Stasny, what they bring to the table. Obviously, losing Pacioretty to a training injury isn't what this team wanted to see, because he was looking to be part of a huge season. But when you talk about internally, I think automatically you look at guys like Marty Natchez. Can he have a bigger, better, more consistent year? Does Seth Jarvis come out and continue to rise as a young player in this league and put up more points? And does Andrei Svechnikov come out and continue to put the puck in the back of the net and maybe reach the 35-40 goal range for this team?
Yeah, that's where I think, like you said, and not to mention, what is Jesperi Kotkaniemi when he has to be a second-line center? Now, when we say second line, the coach cringes, because we all know that that Jordan Staal is going to probably play, you know, if not second most, no worse than third most minutes among centers, and he's not going to get any power play time, which I would argue they probably needed him on the power play in the playoffs last year, but we had already established what the power play units were going to be. But Nate just had a really down year last year. Was sporadic would have been nice, but he wasn't really even sporadic. Seth Jarvis was great, and we expect him to take a step forward. But I think you mentioned the last guy. What is Andrei Svechnikov? Is Svechnikov a point-a-game guy? Because if he becomes the point-a-game guy, then that gives you two of them, almost three of them, since Teravainen is so close, to go along with Sebastian Aho. They need Andrei to be that guy.
Yeah, they need him to find that rhythm and that shooting early on in the season. And I can tell you, the goal scorers, if you can get the puck in the back of the net in those early games, just the confidence will go through the roof. You know Andrei is already confident.
Yeah.
But to have that just start rolling early and finding some chemistry. And you mentioned Kotkaniemi. He's another big part of this internal build, because he signed here long term. He's going to get plenty of more ice time. And he has that skill level. Now it's just a matter of harnessing that, continuing to grow and mature. Because I talked about when he arrived here and the disappointment of the development that Montreal put in place for this young man. Now he's been here. He's seen the training off the ice. He's worked with Bill Burniston. And he can come in with full confidence that you're not going to play 8-9 minutes a game. You're going to play 14, 15, 16. How many can you put in the back of the net? Who do you find chemistry with? And, you know, you talk about young dynamic lines. I'm not sure which way Rod's going to go, but if you had Kokaniemi, Svechnikov, and Natchez, you'd argue that these three young men could dominate games with their skill, their speed, and their talent. So it's going to be an exciting camp. I love the competition that's going to be there for certain positions on the ice and where you're going to sit in this lineup. You know the head coach wants that each and every day of how he's going to push these guys and the pace he wants to see. And he's going to expect all these guys to earn their spot and earn their ice time through exhibition and opening night.
Six preseason games in 9 days starting Tuesday. The 27th of September. Yes.
Yeah. So we started out with a 3-3. I didn't know that was allowed anymore.
My fault. Training camp starts tomorrow. we are a week away from the start of preseason games. I have no idea what day it is, Shane Willis. And to the best of my knowledge, I never had a concussion, but I probably did. Shane, I appreciate your time, my friend. I will see you at the rink very soon.
Thanks, Adam. Look forward to, like I said, a week from now, to seeing these guys compete for their spots in this organization. This team's going to be ready. The goaltenders are going to be ready. I saw both those guys skating. Everyone looks great. So this fan base can once again get excited for the start of the season.
Yeah, it's basically right here. Appreciate your time, my friend. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, buddy.
You got it. Shane Willis with the Carolina Hurricanes. Look, I don't know why I couldn't figure out that training camp starts tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, the players are all here. Tomorrow will be, like, meetings and things like that on the ice. Thursday, Tuesday, the first of three straight preseason games. They will play six times in 9 days.
Yeah.
So there.
Time flies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
All right. Halftime.
And now, your halftime entertainment.
Well, speaking of days, today is National Pepperoni Pizza Day.
Very nice.
And there was a recent survey. Do you like pepperonis on your pizza?
Yeah. I mean, I have nothing. It's not my favorite pizza topping.
Yeah.
But it is certainly a good one.
Yes.
Right?
You can't go wrong with it.
I'm not anti-pepperoni.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I don't utilize pepperoni in any other fashion.
No.
I don't put pepperoni on a sandwich. Some people do if you like a spicy Italian.
Oh yeah, like an Italian sandwich.
Some people do that, but yeah. I don't do that.
No. Well, so because it's pepperoni pizza day, there was a survey asking people what their favorite toppings were. Of course there is. Okay, so their go-to, two-thirds of people say mushrooms.
Yeah.
Garlic? Interesting.
What? Garlic on pizza? I mean, whatever.
I guess, but that is a topping. Interesting. I know. Bacon, obviously.
I don't do bacon on pizza.
No. Chicken. I will say I get also down with chicken on pizza. No. I can do that one.
You can have it. Get out my slice.
Sausage.
Yes.
Green peppers. Ham. Okay. I think that's where the ham is coming in with this Hawaiian pizza.
Where's the pineapple?
I know. Yeah. And see, that's not on here. Now, there were two-thirds of people saying what you shouldn't put on pizza. And, okay, I've never heard of this one. Fried eggs.
I agree. You shouldn't put that on pizza.
Right.
I agree with
I've
that.
I've never seen that should on not pizza. Put on... Here we go. This it's just
gummy
it's crazier.
Bears?
It should be on here.
Gummy bears.
Asparagus? Why?
Yeah, why would you put that on pizza?
Zucchini? Again, why? Anchovies? No, thank you. Shrimp? No, thank you. And then this one, another one, corn. Why are we putting corn on pizza?
Chocolate chips. Don't put that on pizza either.
Right.
Peanut butter.
Caramel. This is crazy. Let's stick with pepperonis.
Are you a white pizza fan?
I'm so not picky with food that, yes, I can get down with that.
My preferred pizza is a white pizza, which means no sauce.
Yes.
White pizza with some, different cheese blend, Fontina. A little spinach, mushroom, sun-dried tomato. In fact, if you are local to Raleigh, Lily's in Five Points. And look, there's a lot of great pizza. Oakwood Pizza Box.
Yes.
I mean, awesome.
Anthony has great pizza.
Anthony's tremendous.
Uh-huh.
He's here a lot, by the way.
He is.
But which is fine.
Yes.
It's great pizza. But I'm not sure that my favorite pizza on the planet is not the Five Points at Lily's.
I'm going to have to try that
delicious.
Now.
Delicious.
Okay. I'm going to have to put that on the list now.
Yeah.
But it's National Pepperoni Pizza
I'm a
Day.
White pizza fan.
So. You know what? You've now planted a seed. I need to get that tonight. Okay, so which state watches too much football? Do you have any inklings of who that might be?
Wait a sec. Too much? I didn't know there was such a thing.
I didn't either, but apparently there is. Based on
what people consume, I didn't know there was such a thing as watching too much football. I think the question is flawed.
It is, from the get-go.
What state watches too much football? South Dakota.
Okay, that's your answer?
That's my answer.
So how they determined this was there is a website that analyzed Twitter data to find out which states do watch too much football by also coupling it with significant others who complain about it.
So they
are geotagging this and kind of putting the combo together to see which states watch the most football. And the winners?
Right.
West Virginia and Ohio. Those were the winners, which, I mean, I don't know.
Right next to each other.
Right next to each other. I know. I mean, they're not like us where we have beaches and mountains, so maybe they just preoccupy their time.
You know, West Virginia, though, they have wonderful rivers.
They do.
And in Ohio, they have...
Yeah, that.
Can't come up with anything. But in West Virginia, they've got wonderful rivers.
Exactly.
Like, seriously, so if you like whitewater rafting...
Uh-huh.
It's probably the best state in the United States for that.
Okay.
Seriously.
It seems fun, but scary. Haven't done it.
No, it's not scary.
No?
No, it's not at all.
Okay.
If you're on a river that's wild enough,
mm-hmm.
you'll have a guide in the boat.
Oh, so the key is to have a professional.
Yeah, you don't need it.
Yeah.
I've been several times where there is no guide in the boat.
Okay.
You have a guide with the trip, but you don't necessarily need one.
Okay.
But if the water is rough enough... There will probably be a guide in the boat, and
you'll be fine. Yeah.
Rarely does somebody get, you know, ejected from the boat and end up on a rock. Somewhere.
Right, and they're on Dateline or something.
Right.
Well, the second one, I found this funny. So the second state was Cincinnati. So, well, or in the area, Cincinnati. And that's where you can get the cheapest beer.
Right.
Yes. West Virginia's one, Ohio's two.
Okay.
So. I thought, you get cheap beer and you watch a bunch of football, so it makes sense.
What else is there to do, apparently?
I know.
That's all we got.
Guess nothing else. So, because of that, speaking of relationships, it's almost cuffing season.
Well, I see it. I'm not even entirely sure what that means.
Well, you know, when the weather gets cooler,
right. People
like to, you know... Start relationships because there's nothing else to do. It's not hot girl summer anymore, so they have to find somebody to cuddle up with.
Wait.
Yes, it's a thing, Adam. It's a thing. I'm telling you, I don't make this up.
Suddenly, I'm feeling uncomfortable. How is that possible?
I know. It's a thing. It's a thing. But because it's a thing, there's also a recent article that has four little petty quirks that you should be careful with when starting these relationships. These are so weird. Okay, obvious one. Don't be bad at sharing.
No, you should always be good.
Duh.
Doesn't make a difference whether you're, like, cuffing or otherwise.
Yeah, exactly.
Be good at sharing. Be an adult.
I know. That's a nice thing to do. The next one. Don't miss the social cues. When you're out in public, when, you know... Like, if you're staying at a party too long and, you know, your significant other's like, okay, I'm really tired.
I have so many stories personally about missing the social cues. Not in a, like, you should have left kind of way.
Right.
Like, I have a laundry list of signals that I missed when somebody was interested.
Oh, I see.
I just always went on to this. This is my, you don't know this about me, Victoria, but I was terrible at relationships in college. I had none.
Okay. Well.
So I was scarred by that. So I just assumed.
No one's interested.
That no one was interested.
Right. Yeah.
So how could you possibly be interested? So. Well, exactly. I missed a lot of cues.
It's okay. Sometimes hints are not really hints at all. So you got to be straightforward with people.
Yeah.
Well, and the next one, I agree with this one, food incompatibility. So this also ties into, like, if you can never decide on a restaurant.
Right.
Where are we going? Oh, I like this kind of food, that kind of food. Yeah. So
okay.
That's a big one.
It's very important.
Find somebody who likes the same food as you.
My wife and I realized that there was a future with my current wife over sushi.
Oh.
Yes.
How fun.
It became our thing.
Yeah. Yes. Sushi is delicious, by the way.
Amazing.
And this one, you could tell this article came from millennials. Netflix incompatibility. So you can't find anything to watch on Netflix together. Right.
That would be bad.
Yes.
My wife and I, we have almost identical tastes in television.
Oh.
Almost identical. Neither of us really care too much about shows.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically... She will watch sports. She watches a lot of golf.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. She doesn't play.
Yeah.
But she likes to watch.
That's rare.
So, yes. So, it's basically we watch news and sports together.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Hey, that comes in handy.
And she also, we have similar tastes in movies for the most part, and we're not afraid to watch the same movie 1,000 times.
Oh, so you're one of those that can watch a movie like 80 billion times.
If Oceans is on, chances are. And they're making another Oceans, I think.
Are they?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes. They stopped doing it because Bernie Mac had passed away, so they didn't go for another one. But Damon, Clooney, Pitt have all decided they're ready to do it. It's all up to Steven Soderbergh, who is the director of those movies. If he's ready to do it, then there will be an Ocean's 14.
Oh, wow. Well, look at that.
Big time.
Learn something new. I know you're excited.
I need another one to watch 65
yes,
times.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, and there you go. That's apparently all you need for a successful relationship. To start your cuffing season.
I like that for cuffing season. Again, I'm uncomfortable even calling it that. Like, I've always felt like that has a deeper meaning.
Yeah, well, I don't know where it came from. Maybe I should Google that. Or maybe I shouldn't Google that.
No, don't. Don't. Nobody out there. Don't Google cuffing season. All right.
We started it.
We have bets to place. I went 0 for 3 yesterday.
Oh.
I did.
Well, it happens.
0 for 3. It does happen. I don't believe you did. Did you go over?
I did not. No.
All right.
Shocker.
There you go. All right. So we'll do that next.
Pirates. Mountaineers. Deacons. 49ers. Heels. Devil. And Pack. Adam Gold talks your team on the North Carolina Sports Network.
North Carolina Farm Bureau Insurance was just named one of America's best insurance companies by Forbes and the nation's best auto insurer in Crash Network's Insurer Report Card for the third year in a row. Sometimes being the best means being a little different. Our difference is our people. And with agents in every county, you've got local, award-winning service right in your backyard. North Carolina Farm Bureau Insurance. Helping you is what we do best.
Hey, Roble's back. You know, that 17-turn, nail-biting elimination race in NASCAR's playoffs. The one with all the surprise finishes and last-lap passes. Yep, that's the one. The one with the killer concerts and parties. Oh, and the fan zone. Insane. There's racing, and then there's Roble. Experience it for yourself. Bank of America Roble 400, Sunday, October 9th. Get your tickets at charlottemotorspeedway.com.
We as parents or grandparents or other people who work with our children should be getting their vaccines and getting their boosters if they haven't done that yet.
Those boosters really matter. Many people, especially older people, their immune system forgets a little bit faster. And so these boosters are good reminders to the immune system of who the enemy is, so you're ready for it if you run across that virus.
Stay up to date on your COVID-19 vaccine. Find out when you're due for your booster. Visit myspot.nc.gov.
This is Ernie Johnson, Jr. Sports is about overcoming obstacles. And college coaches work hard to help young men overcome Duchenne muscular dystrophy. It's called Coach to Cure MD, and you can help. Text the word CURE to 501-501 to donate $25 on your next mobile phone bill. Or go online to coachtocuremd.org. Text the word CURE to 501-501. Help coaches cure MD.
Brought to you by the American Football Coaches Association.
Small business owners are a cornerstone of our state's economy and are essential to the fabric of our rural, urban, and suburban communities. At the NC Rural Center, we believe that our state's economic future depends on the vibrancy of the small businesses lining Main Streets from Murphy to Manio and everywhere in between. That's why we've assembled hundreds of entrepreneurs, advocates, and community leaders from across the state to form the North Carolina Small Business Coalition. Learn more about the coalition and how to join at ncruralcenter.org.
If you are a victim of crime and your offender is currently serving time in the adult correction system, NC Savin is a free confidential service to help you find peace of mind by learning your rights and receiving updates on your offender's status. NC Savin educates victims and connects you to meaningful victim assistance resources. Register today at ncsavin.org. That's ncsavan.org. This message is from the North Carolina Department of Public Safety.
Did you know the world's largest natural habitat zoo is your North Carolina Zoo? Located just south of Asheboro, the North Carolina Zoo is home to 1,700 animals on over 500 shaded acres. Your visit also helps support the zoo's mission of protecting wildlife and wild places, not just in North Carolina, but all around the world. Open 7 days a week. Plan your next zoo adventure at nczoo.org. That's nczoo.org.
Did you know? Along with keeping their local communities powered, Public Power Line workers are part of a mutual aid network spanning the state and country. Public Power crews help their neighbors when natural disasters damage electric systems. And that mutual aid network is one of the reasons Public Power has the highest reliability rating among energy providers, forming a camaraderie among line workers that's second to none. Interested in joining Public Power? Learn more about careers at electricities.com.
Gold. Gold.
I think we've seen enough of Uiagalelei to know what he is.
Are you like flaunting the fact that you can say it and I can't?
I am, yes. Because probably the same friend you texted taught me how to say it.
Oh, did he? Very nice. I'm going to work on it. Uiagalelei. I got it.
You did it.
I did it.
The Adam Gold Show.
Show. Wallace Sound, top of the hour. All the stuff I promised earlier we didn't get to because I had too many things to go to. Too many things to talk about today. There literally are like eight things. There are still things that I want to talk about we haven't gotten to yet.
Yeah.
Including what Justin Fields said yesterday about fans, which he's right. Before we even get to that topic, and we will do that next hour, promise, what Justin Fields said was 100%, and it means that the players care way more than the fans. They invest way more than the fans, and it ain't close. What he said was not wrong. But the way people perceive these things, It's not a good look. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. My friend Brian from Asheville texted me and said that he will send me a picture of real pizza. He's flying to Naples. Not going to lie, first thing I thought of was Naples, Florida, which is a retirement home, but Brian is not near retirement age, or retirement area. And then I went, oh, maybe there's a Naples in New York I don't know about. Italy. He's going to Italy. He just wanted to flex.
Fancy.
That he was flying to Italy. So, look, I'm sure they have great pizza.
They do.
In Italy. I'm not even going to lie. But I don't think it'll be better than the pizza that I grew up on in lower Manhattan. All right, let's place bets and see where we go here because I had a tough night.
Place your bets. Here we are. I bet you slice into the woods $100.
Gambling is illegal at Bushwood, sir, and I never slide.
Death. Okay, you can owe me. I owe you one.
So Vaughn Grissom didn't steal a base. Oh, well.
Nah.
It's a long shot anyway.
Yeah.
Would have been a nice return of plus 800, but that didn't work. I had the parlay of the Bills, Titans under. Tennessee cooperated. Actually, they didn't. Because their absolute mess of a third quarter basically gave Buffalo all these points that put the game over by a half point. But Philadelphia didn't. And Philadelphia and Minnesota didn't go over because the Vikings were bad.
Yeah.
And because Kirk Cousins was bad and Jalen Hurts ran for two touchdowns, I had the requisite passing yards because Hurts was great and Cousins threw for a lot of yards. But I didn't get the four touchdowns, so I didn't win that wager either.
Yeah.
So, 0-3.
I know. Well, and the Buffalo Bills waited until the second half to start racking up the points, or else I would have won one of mine where I had the first half over 24 points. But
it was exactly 24.
Yeah, I know.
Right? So you don't lose that.
Well, there you go. I'm even. But, yeah. Buffalo Bills did end up winning with a bigger margin than, 1-13. And then the Mets did beat the Brewers.
They did.
So.
They did. Max Scherzer, 6 shutout innings, 9 strikeouts. Actually, 6 hitless innings, 9 strikeouts, first start since coming back from the disabled list or the injured list. All right, Victoria, start us off.
All right, so I'm going to do baseball.
Okay.
And I've got the Cubs versus the Miami Marlins. I'm going with the Cubs, but I'm going to be more specific.
Okay.
Who hits a home run? I'm going with Ian Happ.
Ian Happ to homer.
Yep.
Very nice.
And that one is, let's see, what is he? Plus 460.
Nine. Very nice. We're gonna do one future bet.
Okay.
Eagles to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl plus 550.
Oh, nice.
So
let's do
that now before the Eagles start winning a bunch of games.
Yeah.
And then that number is like plus 300. So
exactly.
We'll do Eagles to be in the Super Bowl plus 550.
Yes. The next one, Washington Nationals versus the Atlanta Braves. I'm going to go with the Braves, but first for home run, or a home run, I should say, in the game, William Contreras.
Oh, very nice.
And that is plus 350.
All right. Tigers are at the Orioles. Oh. O's. For a long time, we're in the race.
Yeah.
Actually, at one point, we're in playoff position. But I think they lose at home to the Tigers tonight. Detroit plus 155 to beat the Orioles.
All right. My last one, New York Mets at Milwaukee Brewers, because I got to stick with them. I'm going with the Mets to win. And let's see. We'll go with Pete Alonso. We'll say, and he's plus 285
to hit a home run.
To hit a home run.
He had a bomb last night.
Yeah,
an absolute bomb last night. All right, we are going to go home runs here. And by the way, the Mets and the Braves still tied in the loss column. I know the Mets have played 2 more games and won both of those games, so they lead by 1. But since you can't unlose a game. Once we get into August, the only column that is worth looking at is the loss column. Mets, Braves, tied. So we are, today's Tuesday, right? So basically have 3 weeks left of the season, and we're about 2 weeks away from the Mets and Braves meeting in Atlanta for a 3-game series that will decide who gets to skip the division round of the playoffs, the wild card round of the playoffs, and goes straight to the division round. And it's important. Because if you're the Mets and you have to play the Brewers in the first round of the playoffs, because I think that's where they'd be, if you have to play them or the Phillies, then you're going to have to spend pitching capital to get out of that series. And you need that pitching capital.
Absolutely.
To win the next one. So whichever team can avoid finishing second in the division will have a pretty significant edge when those two teams meet, and those two teams will meet.
Yes.
They will
It'll
meet.
It'll be so good.
Yeah. Although 2 and 3, the Dodgers are going to be 1. They might not meet until the league championship series. So that's just the way the whole thing works out. All right. So same game, 2 different plays. Pirates are at the Yankees, obviously, because he hits a home run every game. We're going to go Aaron Judge to hit a home run. But Aaron Judge hit a home run is only plus 150.
Oh, really?
It's like, are you kidding?
Wow.
it's almost a favorite.
Yeah.
So there's no value in that, but because it's Aaron Judge and the next home run will be number 60, we're going to go with that. O'Neill Cruz for the Pirates. Really good-looking player.
Yeah.
Plus 600. Did a home run. I think Oppo
A lot of units.
A little opposite field, because Yankee Stadium in right field is just, it's a little league field.
Never been there.
Oh, yeah, Yankee Stadium's always got a short porch in right. The wall comes up very, very, very soon, very early. All right, so we have O'Neal Cruz and Aaron Judge to homer in that game.
This is the Adam Gold Show.